So let's be official about it. This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 133D. Page 519, we've been talking about the new section, Planetary Centers, Rays, and Signs, and he's beginning with some facts which bear repetition that our Earth is thus far a non-sacred planet in the process of becoming sacred, and this means with the shifting of the Earth's axis, yet again, how many times it has shifted, we don't know. The Egyptian priests told Herodotus that there were 3.5 great shifts. I think 3.5 times that the axis of the Earth aligned with the wheel of the constellations. Just as Uranus and, Uranus is just about aligning with that, a little bit low, and Venus is already has its pole pointing downward altogether, and is rotating apparently in a different manner, retrograde, because of that shift. So there's present upheaval, chaos, and difficulty, but nothing compared to what's coming at the time of the judgment day, which will make all of our present wars and conflicts look like nothing at all. It'll be fought out in the inner planes. And whether this is the happening in the fifth round of the fourth chain, or whether we have to wait for the fifth scheme round and have this occur on our chain or some other chain, all of that is still obscured, at least to our vision and our understanding. So we are in the process of becoming a sacred planet, and, you know, he says for our encouragement, and also as a fact, that we are inwardly a sacred planet. Now, how inwardly, what does that mean? Maybe it hasn't worked through. Does that mean that the status of our causal body on the higher mental plane, cosmic mental plane, is of sufficient degree to call it inwardly a sacred planet? Does it mean that all of this has not really worked out into the dense physical level? Remember, we're still, at the moment, on the third subplane of the cosmic mental plane. Our causal body, the causal body of the Earth, is still there, not our individual causal body, but the causal body of the Earth. Whereas I have suggested or inferred that the causal bodies of sacred planetary loci are found on the second subplane of the cosmic physical plane. The analogy is there because, let's see, those who have at least undertaken the first initiation in humanity have their causal body on the second sublevel of the ordinary mental plane, systemic mental plane, and those who have not are still on the third sublevel. Well, we're, in that sense, we're still a non-sacred planet. But the interesting thing is, oh, and I just thought of this, I didn't realize this, but we have taken the first cosmic initiation. So, if the analogy holds good, why has the causal body of the planetary logos not moved onto the second subplane of the cosmic mental plane? See what I'm saying? If it happens for a human being, when we take our first initiation, the causal body moves to the second subplane of our systemic mental plane. Why not for our planetary logos? Moving, well, we're just not a sacred planet, and so maybe that movement cannot occur until the fifth. It cannot occur until the fifth in a lesser series of initiations has occurred, and we, our planetary logos, has only, is only now taking the fourth in that series. So we see that we don't have an exact analogy there. Just occurred to me, you know, obviously the causal body of Mars, not too sacred Pluto, esoteric but not too sacred, would be on the third sublevel. But I do wonder, you know, whether the planetary logoi, who are sacred, should not be on the second sublevel. He doesn't really say that. He puts the three great logoi on the first sublevel, the three divisions of the Soto Logos, who are called the persons of the Trinity, Father, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Mother, I suppose. Those three logoi are there. And I don't think they represent the three synthesizing planets. There's really such a difference between the cosmic initiations of a Soto Logos and his extensions, and the cosmic initiations of planetary logoi. The three persons of the logoic trinity are much greater beings than our planetary logoi, and in fact, I believe, include three of our planetary logoi as major methods of expression. Check out Esoteric Psychology 2, around page 99 or 100. Anyway, this transference out of the lower states of consciousness expressed through the lower centers into a higher state can and will take place in this world period and in this century, it didn't, if humanity so wills it. Now, what transference are we talking about? Because, you know, he did talk about the very distant day when the solar plexus center of our planetary locus would be more activated than its sacral center, which is not yet the case. The sacral center is very activated. And that was some time in the future. So are we talking just in terms of our globe now? The transference out of the lower states of consciousness expressed through the lower centers of our planetary logos can and will take place. Let's ask. Of our planetary logos into a higher state can and will take place in this world period and in this century, if humanity so wills. A century then is less than a world period. A century, obviously, less than a world period. If the forces of light eventually triumph, because I suppose that the writing of this, they have not yet, and we still don't know whether they do, because we're in a way in the third phase of the Great War being fought out internally. If the forces of light eventually triumph, and if the New World Order comes into being, this it will do. If the lessons of the war are learnt and right action follows as a result, I'm sure, I am sure a considerable chastisement is in order when DK again begins to write, and a litany of missed opportunities, I think. Of course, maybe they do see things clearer than we do, and maybe many more things have occurred in a positive way than are immediately evident, but I think there have been many, many missed opportunities. So a world period, it's just as ambiguous as a world cycle. I do think sometimes we've looked at world periods, they've looked longer than world cycles, but there's no reason necessarily to assume that is definitely the case. To a certain extent, the Aquarian Age is a kind of world period, and a great Platonic year is a kind of world period. But this century, goodness, how much is possible to us when right decisions are made? He's speaking of the 20th century. And the transference out of a lower state of consciousness into a higher state, if humanity so wills it, this looks more like a transference possible for individuals than for the entire planet. There is this interesting sex crime. And he basically okay. This is a treatise on white magic. Sex and crime incident two. And that's not what we want. Okay, I want to go back if I possibly can. I'm not doing so well. Okay. I'll have to do it this way. That there is crime 75. No? 70. All right, let's see what we got. Okay, well, I was looking right at it in the first place, wasn't I? Now, and this is in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and that's exactly what I was looking at. Sex stimulation, as now understood, will be showing a tendency to manifest in creation, not so much on the physical plane as on the astral and mental, demonstrating in the creation of art and beauty and the objective work of the scientists. Now, crime, as now seen, based largely on the sex emotion, I suppose, you know, that's very much the sacral influence in the astral body, will be a thing of the past, and physical plane license, orgy, horror will be reduced 75%. So when the heavenly man who is at present demonstrating through the earth scheme has succeeded in vitalizing his middle center, or in directing the force of planetary kundalini away from the lower centers to the solar plexus, a new cycle will be reached and much of the distress will be ended. So I may have, this is in relation to our planetary logos. His work is as yet in an embryonic condition, and 2.5 more cycles must transpire before he has accomplished the necessary work. What nature are those cycles? It's almost as if he has done 1.5 cycles, and 2.5 would take him, 1.5 plus 2.5, being 4, it might be his fourth initiation. And yet, the transference of energy to the solar plexus center is not what we would expect for a fourth initiation, so the cycles are probably different here. When that is done, the result in connection with the human units in incarnation will be threefold. And there will be a much better condition in the human being, and perhaps this is occurring by the time of the Judgment Day, when everyone on this planet, well, maybe even before the Judgment Day, everybody on this planet by that time will be on the path. So if you're on the path, the crime based on the sex emotion will not be existing. So this, while it will not occur immediately, will probably occur before the fifth chain round, if the Judgment Day or some anticipation of a final Judgment Day is found within our chain. I mean, there can be a Judgment Day involving a scheme round and maybe a lesser Judgment Day involving a chain round here on our fourth chain, in the fifth round of our fourth chain. Things tend to replicate themselves. You know, we have a fractal-like situation. And maybe if we do have a kind of Judgment Day for our scheme, it will be an anticipation of a greater type of Judgment Day in relation... No, in relation... If we have a kind of Judgment Day in relation to our chain, it will be an anticipation of a kind of Judgment Day, greater kind, in relation to our whole scheme, involving maybe a scheme round. So much was promised. I think in really what we're looking at here is, in general, a better state for humanity. Maybe not one in which 75% of all crime based on the sex emotion is taken from the 100%, but at least an improvement. It's amazing how much we could accomplish if we would just take advantage of our advantage of our opportunities. All right. So the next is to say point number three. Three factors must also be borne in mind. Let's see what was. Here was point number two and point number one. And we have to have certain facts in mind, and they bear constant repetition: the non-sacredness of our earth, the transference out of the lower states of consciousness into the higher, and these could occur, making this teaching of practical value. They can still occur. Apparently they didn't occur. I think there was a delay in the proposed reappearance of the Christ due to the nuclear condition of our knowledge of atomic energy. And then the third factor. The whole problem is vaster than anything the human consciousness can grasp because it concerns the life experience and a point of crisis in the life of the planetary logos. And so what we would do is we would go to page 384 of TCF and see the kind of fourth initiation crisis which is occurring in a lesser series of initiations which can still be called cosmic, but not a major cosmic, because our planetary logos is a cosmic being with his inner principles and vehicles on the higher cosmic planes. He, the Lord of the world, is releasing new energies into the form aspect. Well, and this can be related to the shambolic impacts, i.e. into the life and lives of the various kingdoms of nature. And this will certainly be a progressive driving onwards. Progressive, driving forward through space, first-ray energy. Humanity, being the most developed from the angle of the mechanism and of consciousness, is the point of greatest response. He's talking about the lower kingdoms, I suppose, in a way lower than the kingdom of the soul, though you can still be a human being in terms of your membership in the fourth grade of hierarchy and still be in the kingdom of you can still be a human being from the monadic perspective and be in the fifth kingdom. The mineral kingdom, through the excessive use of its form in the meeting of war necessities, munitions, ships, and planes, is being profoundly affected, I guess, by very great impacts. Imagine being having the privilege of being a mineral in an atomic bomb. The impact must be incredible in terms of the stimulation of the atoms concerned, as are the buildings, for instance, in the blasted cities. The vegetable kingdom is, how we look at this always from the human point of view, and we don't even realize how the use of these, of the mineral kingdom, in meeting the war necessities, as here stated, can have a tremendous evolutionary effect upon that kingdom. Maybe turning more elements radioactive. Because radioactive elements, like radioactive people, are the higher, more highly evolved types within their kingdom. An initiate is experiencing increasing radioactivity. A master is very radioactive in the spiritual sense. The vegetable kingdom is almost as deeply affected through the destruction of vast areas of forests, fields, wide spaces of vegetation, and now with growing arson for ideological purposes, you know, part of a covert war. This is going on. I think, you know, we've had tremendous fires in the United States, in Australia, even more so now in Europe. The world is burning. And it's going to have a tremendous effect on the vegetable kingdom. He already told us about certain types of vegetation going out of incarnation, the blue, the types that support the blue color, the blue flowers. Blue is a six-ray color, but also deeply related to the second ray. Six rays going out of incarnation, the more violet colors come in. It's all well coordinated. So even in that war, when you look at what the battlefields had been before the war, they were certainly decimated, although technically decimated means the destruction of one-tenth. It has to do with the defeat of Roman legions, where men had to count off, the defeated army had to count off, and every 10 was killed, every 10th was killed. Talk about iron discipline and fate. The Shambhala force, when thus pursuing its work of destruction, is an aspect of the will and intention of the planetary logos, but its first and primary effect has been to stimulate the will to power and the will to have of certain great and unspiritual groups. And here we're talking, of course, of the Nazis and the strong Torian influence of Hitler upon the whole nation. The will to have, not just the will to power. Maybe you saw that movie from 1933, The Triumph of the Will. Her first name was Leni, the filmmaker. Reifstahler, Reifenschneider. I can't remember it exactly. But if you look up The Triumph of the Will, and you could see it, you'd understand what the unholy will to power would be. Kind of a documentary, but also a propaganda film. And the will to have, the will to possess, the will of the personality to possess for strictly personal purposes. So that's been part of the Shambhala force too, and Taurus and Vulcan involved in that are very much connected with Shambhala. So there is a higher type of destruction, but it is a destruction of obsolete and destructive forces, and not the destruction of the good. Later, this will aspect will evoke the will to good and the will to build. Now, you see how he's dealing with Vulcanian and Taurian factors, Vulcan and Taurus. And the will to good, it's like, to me anyway, the in general, the second aspect of the will. Whereas the will to be is more the first aspect to me. DK lists so many different kinds of will, you know, you wonder if they can be listed in one group in any way, in a prioritization. Thus, the evil which is now being spread abroad by the opponents of the forces of light will be neutralized by the fixed intention of the men and women of goodwill to work for the good of the whole and not for any one part. You know, when you sing Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, you know, any country over all others, it's nationalism, and it's just like egoism on a nationalistic level. Egoism among nations. It's the good of the part and not the good of the whole. And the good always takes the whole into consideration. You can't really have the will to good if you have the good of some, and it does not include the others within the sphere being considered. In this case, it has to be the sphere of humanity. And now, more and more, with ecological thinking, the sphere of the planet. It might therefore be said that what is truly taking place in the world today is the transference of the energy of the solar plexus to the planetary heart center. Now, yes, except for what we just discussed, except for the discussion, I don't know if it's here anymore. In a treatise in Cosmic Fire 297. In a TCF 297, 298. So maybe on some larger, in some larger scale, the sacral to the solar plexus is not really achieved, even though we're talking maybe on a smaller scale of the transference of the solar plexus to the planetary heart center. Are we speaking of the planetary logos? Are we speaking of the globe lords' centers? Are we speaking of the chain lords' centers? You see, these are hidden factors, hidden from us, because we have the accordion effect, you know. DK is talking about a somewhat collapsed situation. And we use the same term maybe to cover many things that we're not aware of, but if we were to unfold it, we would find out there are a number of layers here, and he may be talking about one of those layers and not about the one we think. He may not be talking about the entire planetary scheme. He may be talking about what's happening in a chain or a globe. So this taking apart of the generalities and the analysis of these generalities is something for the student of cosmic fire, and we understand that it cannot really be studied unless you have the, successfully that is, unless you have the initiate consciousness written for initiates. So the decompression of the subject matter so that it is more articulated and logically diversified is something to which we have to attend. What's really going on our globe, as opposed to what's going on in our chain, as opposed to what's going on in the entire planetary scheme. Those are not necessarily the same things. Probably not. The forces of cupidity, it's kind of greed, right? Aggression, glamour, and greed, well, he distinguishes them, will be transmuted in the present furnace of pain and fiery agony and will be raised to the heart center. Well, that's in process, and we're still performing it. There is today a great eruption of the solar plexus center. And the transference is not complete by any means. But a greater heart is emerging, and under Jupiter in Aquarius, and Venus ruling the third and thus first decanate of entry for most of humanity, we will see growth of heart, even in the very fifth ray and seventh ray age. It's almost as if the reappearance of the Christ being so much on the second ray has to offset very material indications of the fifth ray constellationally coming through Aquarius and the seventh ray, which is part of the cycle coordinated with the appearance of Aquarius at this time. So the emergence of the second ray planetary soul will give us the possibility of raising all of these solar plexus emotions to more heartfelt feelings. There they will be changed into the power of sacrifice. So we're talking about the sacrificial will of the soul, of inclusive surrender. It's so Piscean, isn't it, in the higher sense. That's not good. Piscean, so surrender unto the whole for the sake of the whole, of clear vision of the whole and into cooperation, which is Aquarian. It's the best of Pisces and Aquarius we're talking about. The best of Pisces and Aquarius. This is an aspect of the principle of sharing. So they will be changed into the power of sacrifice, of inclusive surrender, of clear vision of the whole, and into cooperation. This is an aspect of the principle of sharing. It is breaking bread together. It's going into the higher room, upper room, which is into soul consciousness and sharing the bread, sharing that by which men live. We still have so much scorpionic greed operating. The third aspect is still so small. The frenzied stock market is an example of the unredeemed part of that which will one day be redeemed. So in many human beings, there has been an augmentation of the power to sacrifice and of surrendering of one's ego, you know, to the welfare of the whole. Of the whole. So I'm talking really here about the lower ego. When DK writes the word ego, even with a little e, it oftentimes simply means the ego on the higher mental plane. When he uses the capital E, ego, it usually means the spiritual triad, or maybe in some cases, the monad itself. So we need to specify lower ego. Surrender of the lower ego to the whole which contains it. A disillusioned and deglamorized vision of the whole, and into working together under the seventh ray and the second ray. And we share energies and the proper energy exchange, part of the way as we cooperate. This is part of the principle of sharing, an aspect of the principle of sharing. Every once in a while he gives this tremendous, unexpected definition of a term which we usually understand in a less illumined manner. So when I say these words, I'm not speaking idealistically or mystically. I am pointing out the immediate goal. In some sense, the raising of the solar plexus center of human beings and even of humanity to the heart center, and the new group of world servers as probably a heart center within humanity becomes more important. It is the Ajna center within Sanakumara, but probably the heart center within humanity. And the emotionally polarized people who have suffered so much, as so many have, begin to think and begin to be more inclusive, and you have what's, you know, called the fellowship of suffering. Fellowship of suffering, or the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Well, it does tend to produce the group realization. Suffering does it. Suffering tends to, if allowed to proceed in the right manner, to destroy isolation. So I'm indicating a problem of our planetary deity, and I'm giving you the clue to a scientific process which is going on under our eyes and which is today at a point of crisis. So the energy of the planetary solar plexus to the planetary heart center. Well, I could certainly see that the solar plexus of humanity would be rising to the heart of humanity. There are probably different kinds of flows, and what we were talking about in Cosmic Fire may be a major flow which will take longer to achieve. There are different kinds of activations. We haven't even taken the second cosmic initiation on our planet. And yet, from a chain perspective, the heart must be stimulated, because on our chain we're taking a kind of planetary logoic fourth initiation, and the heart is the chakra that's involved in the fourth initiation. But the solar plexus is the chakra involved in the second cosmic initiation. So maybe from the cosmic perspective, we're looking at transference from the sacral center to the solar plexus, or more centrality and power of the sacral center, of the solar plexus center over the lower chakras. But perhaps from a lesser point of view, and dealing with that lesser series of initiations that our planetary logos is going through on our chain, We're dealing with the solar plexus to the heart, because the heart will be the organ of crucifixion here. Organ of crucifixion. All right, so continuing here, these lower forces, which are certainly sacral too, aren't they? A lot of the greed, I think, is coming from the sacral center. Aggression, solar plexus, I think, glamour, solar plexus, but there are glamours of the lower, of the sacral center too. They will be transmuted, it's a Uranian process, seventh ray, Uranus, in the present furnace of pain and fiery agony, and will be raised to the heart center. I'm sure we've all been through a lot of this, and probably quite a few of the students have been through the Second World War and reborn, yes, with forgetfulness, but also with greater opportunity. There, these negative things, will be changed into the power to sacrifice, power of sacrifice. These are soul powers. Soul powers. Sacrificial will of the soul. Yeah, that's what I wrote. Inclusive surrender with the wholeness in mind, clear vision of the whole, and into cooperation. This is an aspect of the principle of sharing. So he's not speaking idealistically. I'm indicating a problem of our planetary deity. I'm giving you the clue to the scientific process which is going on under our eyes. Well, we're going through a crucifixion of a kind on our planet, and we're going through a preparation, however long it takes, for improvement of the condition of the astral body in a planetary schemic sense. So we are passing both through a type of crucifixion and through the, and also in a broader planetary sense, through the preparation of the planetary astral body. Schemically. Schemically, is this such a word? Considered. So if in the human being, Venus, Jupiter, and Neptune are so important with the second initiation, maybe our planetary locus as a whole, as he approaches his second cosmic initiation, will be undergoing influence from those particular planets to help prepare his astral body, which is now full of struggle on the cosmic astral plane, into that which is more soul-inspired and therefore more tranquil. In other words, he's raising his attention to the fifth subplane of the astral plane, which has to be correlated with Venus and the fifth ray, and with a more illumined condition. I guess you could say that what's going on here is there is a de-glamorization of the planetary astral body on the cosmic astral plane. Just words for us, but the analogy is there. As this is the Aryan or fifth root race, and I do not use this term in the German materialistic and untrue sense, he's made it very clear, because later there are those people that don't read well, and they don't like what DK said about the Jewish group, and they, you know, we're looking at some of the symbols here in the discussion of the swastika and the use of the word Aryan. They'll assume that somehow DK is connected with the Nazi group or something stupid like that. So he clarifies this matter so we understand his point of view. There is a materialistic Aryanism simply based upon the outer form, and there's a whole study of the Aryan consciousness and development of the true Aryan consciousness, which on its highest levels is not only mental, but soul-infused mental. That is a higher type of possibility for the true inner Aryan consciousness. So as we are dealing here with the Aryan or fifth root rays, there are today in the body of him in whom we live and move and have our being, five focal points of spiritual energy expressing through five awakened centers in the body. And we've been dealing with this a little before, right? And we've made many speculations. Now, one day, What I've done so far is to write for you, increasingly, the content of whatever I say in these programs. In the beginning, and maybe I'll have to go back, I just pretty well put what pages were covered. But I can think that there has to be a whole lot of indexing going on in these commentaries, so it would be possible for you with fair ease to turn to any particular place so many minutes into a particular DVD or something, so you could access exactly the point where I'm talking about these things. Unfortunately, and not because of the same wonderful intentional plan that the Tibetan has, I have managed to scatter all kinds of things, all kinds of ideas throughout the content of this book, mirroring in a much lower way what the Tibetan has done with great design. And I might say it probably is going to be even harder to gather what I've said than it is from him. He has the CD-ROM now, and we all are really benefiting from it. It has made our study how many times faster? 100? I don't know. Can you imagine looking for one reference for half hour, an hour, as your clumsy fingers flick through the pages of the books for things that are not listed in the index? It was really a time of great hunting, with laborious hunting. Anyway, we're at that point again of discussing five focal points of spiritual energy. So Geneva, that city which has both the second ray and the first ray connected with it, for the European continent, and he included Russia earlier, including Russia. London for the British Commonwealth of Nations. Are they still called the British Commonwealth, or are they simply called the Commonwealth? A city with powerful seventh and fifth ray meanings, and also with a strong first ray in a constructive sense. New York for the American continent, having a combination of sixth ray, second ray, third ray. In what order? There are some different categories here. Darjeeling, a first ray city, but also with rays 2 and 5 for Central and Western Asia, and Tokyo for the Far East. This he seems to be repeating in this section of the book. Five major centers, and we're not really necessarily dividing this into five continents, because Russia can be considered in a way part of Asia, but also part of Europe. The American continent has two continents in the Americas, and South America is considered a continent. And as far as Asia goes, the Far East is Asia, and so is Western Asia, Central and Western Asia. But anyway, these are major focal points, Tokyo bringing in the first ray from the materialistic aspect and having the reverse rays of its country, so it would have a sixth-ray soul and a fourth-ray personality, whereas Japan would have the fourth-ray soul and the sixth-ray personality, as far as I can understand. So I did all this earlier, you know. You can find it. I wouldn't want to find it myself. Rays 1, 6, and 4. And Darjeeling rays 1, 2, and 5. And the American continent, what is it here? It's a ray... Rays 6, 2, and 3. And London, what do we have here? Rays 1, 5, and 7. And Geneva, well, rays 2, and 2, and 1. I'm not sure he gave, he gave some secondary rays for New York, for Darjeeling, for Tokyo. I don't know if he did that for Geneva, just to catch our rays, ray, Geneva, Ray. All right. One and two. Well, in that case, and a very pure form passing through Geneva, and that's it. So I think Geneva is raised two. Let's go back. Two. So, two, one, and two. Raise two. One and two. I think that's correct. Yeah, Geneva, first and second raise, Darjeeling, second and fifth. We're looking at soul raise here and personality raise, but from another perspective, he gave us a larger type of ray, in which Darjeeling, Tokyo, and London all had the first ray. New York, the sixth ray, I think, and Geneva, the major second ray. Let's see. So if I take this down, and I'm not sure that I can find this, but let's see if I can find it this way, how he did it. Tokyo 1. All right, so at one of these five centers, the master will be found, and let's try again. Tokyo 1. Ray. Okay. The forces flowing through Tokyo are the first ray in the materialistic sense. So it's here, in the destiny of the nations, that he seems to give this. And it's spread out over, I think it's spread out over a larger, this is brought in from the destiny of the nations. And let's look further for Tokyo. Okay, forces flowing through, okay. And maybe, let's try Geneva. Second. Let's try that. The forces which is expressing at present ineffectually, though later this will change, is that of the second ray of love wisdom. Yes, it's here that we will find the major cities, and we will find these rays expressing in a larger sense. So the higher ray that is expressing through New York in a planetary sense is ray six. And the ray expressing through London is ray one in the building aspect and not in its destroying aspect, as I think we looked at before. But it's good to remember these two levels of rays and the second ray coming through here. The quality of inclusiveness, so the second ray is a very high ray, even though it has a first-ray soul and a second-ray personality in another sense in terms of the city. The forces through Darjeeling is ray one, even though two and five are mentioned in a lower sense. And then I already looked at Tokyo. It's ray one in its materialistic aspect. So even though Japan did not have the first ray soul, it had first ray flowing through Tokyo. It had a lot of six and four, and in both of its signs, Capricorn personality and Scorpio soul, there is the implication of the first ray. The first ray comes through Capricorn, yes, along with the third and seventh, and it's the Scorpio is the constellation which is a ruler of a certain cosmic decanate, and it's the sign or the constellation in which Hercules, the great first-ray hero, is found. So the implication is that there is first ray in Scorpio. Okay, well, that's a little bit of a review. It helps for us to, and I think I've been right here mostly in putting these things down. The first ray I mentioned, the first ray I mention is always the greater from a planetary sense. Not the city itself, but the planetary function. So only one ray 2 center, that's Geneva, from that point of view. Three ray 1 centers, in which I assume that London is the most constructive, but Darjeeling the most occult and Tokyo the most material. And New York, interestingly, bringing ray 6. Where are the other rays? And will they ever be distributed so that when there are 7 major city centers on our planet at some future time, all 7 rays will be found? Maybe. The whole thing is rationally mutable. I want to say the shifting of the energies, rationally mutable. In other words, change, or let's call it purposefully changeful or changing. Today, these 5 centers are being abnormally and deliberately stimulated and vitalized. Who does this? Shambhala? Possibly. Abnormally and deliberately stimulated and vitalized, the energy which flows from them is profoundly affecting the world, even though more purely from Geneva and Darjeeling, and more subjectively from Darjeeling altogether. Holding great hopes for the future, but producing most disruptive and disastrous effects where the material side of human life is concerned. We saw that with Tokyo, certainly. I don't know if we could see that in Geneva. With the United States, I suppose so. And with London. I mean, you know, involved in the war very much. America, Britain and Tokyo. Now, the Geneva Center was certainly not affecting Germany towards peace. Its first ray, and besides, is on a completely different side, in a way. Switzerland was neutral, but the first ray is there, uniting with the first ray soul. The first ray soul of Geneva unites with the first ray soul of Germany, but they're working in a completely different manner. As for Italy, it had no first ray. But Rome, I'm trying to remember about the rays of Rome. I know there was Taurus and Leo, both of which can bring in the first ray. But I don't think it's a first ray, city by any means. Rome, 12. And fifth. Signs, Taurus and Leo. So there's going to be some first ray through the city itself and the rulers of the city particularly. Brussels would be important now in terms of the European Union. We have to look at all these things in terms of the present configuration as well. Yeah, and DK certainly draws the connections together, doesn't he? He tells us that Great Britain, with its Taurian personality, and Rome, with its Taurus soul, can be more closely related. He looks for the same sign, and then sees the effect when that same sign is present in different aspects of nations or capital cities or important cities. So today these 5 centers are being abnormally and deliberately stimulated and vitalized, but most disruptive and disastrous effects are also being caused on the side of material side of life, and that's Tokyo, certainly, New York, and London. London being bombed mercilessly, showing the true grit of the British people. And New York not suffering from that, but certainly being involved in the war. There are two centers in the planetary life which are as yet relatively quiescent as far as any world effect is concerned. So, are they specified? That's the question. Are they specified? To them, I assign no other focal point beyond hinting that within the continent of Africa, one will someday be found, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be involved with the seventh root race. And, well, maybe not. And later still, many millions of years ahead, another will be discovered in the region of Australia, because who knows what the, what the landmass will be at that time. So Australia becomes important with respect to the base of the spine center, I think. Base of spine center of our particular planet, probably of our globe. It is, however, with the five centers of this fifth root race that we are concerned. Well, you know, we have South America will be very important in the sixth root race, and Brazil, we can't say what city. Would it be Rio, you know, would it be Sao Paulo? The Brazilians would know better than I, the esoteric Brazilians. But with the sixth root race, there will be a very strong emphasis in South America. With the seventh root race, you know, I feel Africa will be important, and I feel also that Australia will be involved there. After all, we can't go beyond the seventh root race, and of course, if our planetary logo somehow manages to speed up the way the logos of Venus did, we may be finishing our planetary development sooner than we thought, but we certainly have to have... See, this is probably the fourth scheme round we're in, and we're also in the fourth chain round. Basically, what's happening is that the fourth scheme round at the moment seems to be passing through the fourth chain, which is having its fourth chain round. But we'd have to go through all those other chains on the fourth scheme round, and then we'd, even if they're not sequential, we'd have to undergo their activations in whatever order the planetary logo sees fit, and then we'd have to deal with the fifth scheme round. And I think Venus is completing its fifth scheme round, one entire scheme round ahead of our Earth. And so even if we were very, very fast and managed to begin moving at the same rate of speed as the logos of Venus, we still have this entire scheme round left to go, the fifth. Well, who's to say, because the evolution of the planetary logos is as much in his own power as our own evolution is within our power. Well, okay, I think we're at the point pretty well where we can say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 133D. Maybe, you know, it's time to... Page 521. And I think what I'll do is beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 134A, page 521. This is really a very correlative section of the book, very correlative. It gives you a chance to really put things together and to see in a practical sense what's happening with humanity, with the individual human being, with the chakras in both, with the continents, and how the rays and the planets are affecting the progress of these places in which we live. This really has a lot to do with the progress and process of human living on our planet, and the correlations here gathered should be very practical, very utilitarian. Of course, every once in a while he goes into some great abstract discussion. He will later in the book, when he discusses the true nature of the will, more in the about 100 pages from now, in the early 600s. I don't know whether each one of these programs is exactly 1 hour in length. I suspect that it isn't. But I'm pretty close, and so when it goes on YouTube, it will be of somewhere close to what is considered a reasonable length. So I will go on with the rest of this section on a new series of programs. And it's interesting, isn't it? How he gives a little piece of information in one place, never the complete information earlier, then the little piece comes in later. I did talk about the different continents. And it looks to me like, you know, Africa's day lies ahead. Unless, of course, it was very instrumental in the Lemurian days, along with Australia and all the sub-equatorial region. But in terms of the continents, you know, we have this Hyperborean continent. We actually have two quite polar continents, I suppose. They're not with us anymore. But there is the remains, a circumpolar area, which probably belonged to the Hyperborean continent. Then we have all of Lemuria. And we have Atlantis and fourth root race and fifth root race. But presently, the continents we can talk about include Antarctica. Is it justifiable to speak of Antarctica? Are we dealing with the base of the spine? Will there come a time, for instance, when Australia and Antarctica will be combining to indicate the planetary kundalini is alive and well? And, you know, in some senses, the sacral center, it could have been associated with Australia in one way, but certainly with Africa. And that is fading, that is waning, and yet Africa seems to have as well a great future, because he talks about that which will one day be found in Africa. But certainly the sacral center has been very powerful. America was the center of the old Atlantean continent. We thought it all sank, but there's the connection with the fourth root race. When it comes to the, and then of course Europe with the fifth root race, and South America with the sixth root race. It's almost as if Africa and Australia are getting a second chance and are going to come in representing some very strong powers for the revivification of humanity. I wouldn't be surprised that Africa could also be important in the sixth root race, which lasts some 10 million years. And what can we say of Antarctica? Well, right now it's the icebox. But maybe at some time, with shifts going on all the time, it will be something else. The shifts of the Earth axis may make it that something else. There is a migration of continents, we have understood. So when it comes to, you know, what represents the different rays in today's world, the continent of Australia, I think, is still very connected with the third root race at this time. South America has not come into its own. There is, in America, the sixth root race will be important, but it's also a colony of the fifth root race. Europe is definitely the fifth root race. Maybe we cannot really... Asia has a lot to do with the fourth root race, but we're dealing with types of consciousness here, and not necessarily with racial types. So what will be the function of the seven continents right now, and what can we eliminate in terms of hierarchical function? Maybe for the moment we eliminate Antarctica and Africa, and then simply have to consider the other five continents. There's no perfect one-to-one correspondence in all this between the planetary outlets and the present continents and the root races per se. There's no immediately, intuitively perceived arrangement and correlation between these. So I'll just let them go for the moment. There'll be a strong sixth sub-race work in America, but it's still part of the fifth root race, isn't it? And we'll wait then. Europe will probably not be so important in terms of the sixth sub-race, except that all the peoples will undergo that type of stimulation. South America will become increasingly important. Europe is more the five sub five, very much the Ajna center, and I suppose to a degree the throat center, and America has the five sub six, and colonies in Australia and New Zealand and Canada and so forth also will have the five sub six. So that's a newer type of expression in Australia than the ancient expression, which is more tied to the third root race and also to the seventh root race to come, I suspect. Well, I probably talked on too long there, but I'll let it go, and we will carry on in Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 134. We'll see you then.